Amen. So let's pray for Pastor John as he brings that word this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this gift that you've given us and our pastor, Father God. But more importantly, the word that you have gave him this morning, Father God. You always have the right word at the right time. I know this word is for many people here today, Father God. Father, we thank you for the love that you pour out through this man. We all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this past weekend, I know we all enjoyed the ministry of Ed Trout here, the prophet Ed Trout. And we were able to experience exactly what the Word of God tells us happens when we are ministered to that way by this gift through the Holy Spirit. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:3 that the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, their encouragement, and comfort. It also says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14:4, that prophecy edifies or lifts up the church. And you know, I see all those things happen. People get a word and they are comforted. They're strengthened. It lifts up the church. It edifies the church. True prophetic words will speak life to us. What they do is they confirm that God actually knows what's going on and in our lives, and he knows the secrets of our heart. And we hear that word, and it confirms that God cares about us. It confirms that he knows what's going on, that he's walking with us. So God wants you to know that he is madly in love with you. He really is. And one of the ways, and this is one of the ways, the prophecy is one of the ways that he uses to communicate that love. I mean, it could be through prophecy. It might be as we're worshiping together as a body. I know oftentimes people in the middle of worship, God just hits them and we break down in tears. It might be through a message. It might be through our own Bible reading at home. It might be through, you know, a burning bush. It could be anything. You know, God can speak to us and communicate to us. The point is that God wants us to be aware that he is there for you, and he is there with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. God knows what's going on in your life, and he is there for each one of us. He wants to strengthen, encourage, and comfort you. He wants you to live a joyful, thankful, abundant, victorious life. But just as much as God wants all these things for you, as much as he wants to bless you and he wants to speak those words of life into your heart, I hate to say it, but there is someone else out there who hates you almost as much as God loves you. And he wants to rob you of every good thing that comes from our Father above. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about the message Kenny O'Rourke spoke a couple weeks ago. And if you remember, his message was actually a prophetic message, I believe. Because he was warning us that the devil wants to sift us. You remember he was talking about Gideon, he was hiding in the, you know, in over there in the mill, because he had to hide out because they were being robbed and plundered, and then God came to him and told him he was going to go out and save Israel. He got that word, but he was afraid until God comforted, encouraged, and strengthened him. God gave him a word. Now think about it. Kenny speaks that message that we're not to be, you know, we don't want to allow the devil to rob us, to sift us. And 5 days later, God begins to speak prophetically to the church. 50, 60, maybe there might have been 70 people that got a word. And in reality, because we see the word of God coming forth like that, we all get touched. It moves us all to know that God is doing something special. And he does that through the Holy Spirit and through the man of God, Ed Trout, as he came in. But then the devil is right there, coming right behind to try to snatch away what God has done. Do you remember the parable of the farmer who sowed the seed? It's in the, there's one of them, it's in a couple different books. In Mark chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, it says that Jesus was teaching them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and snatched it up, ate it up. Jesus explains that the word, or excuse me, that that seed is his word. And so, in verse 14, he explains a little further. He says, the farmer, Jesus said this, the farmer sows the seed, and some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. See, the devil's always trying to take whatever God is trying to do in us. The devil wants to rob it. He wants to steal it. Jesus wants us to be constantly aware. That's why he's warning us in his word that the devil is a thief. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But then he says, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or have an abundant life. God wants us to live a life of abundance. He wants us to live a spirit-filled life. He is constantly trying to communicate his love to us. He wants to communicate his power, his provision, his joy, his peace, all those things, whatever it is that we need, he's trying to bring that to us and show us that it's there for us. When Jesus was teaching the parable of the sower, he also made a statement there in Mark 4, 9. He says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. What he's trying to do, he's trying to get us to know that he's bringing this word, that he does speak to us, and he also wants us to understand and hear that there is someone, there really is someone trying to steal that away from us. God doesn't want us to be robbed of all the blessings that he paid for. He paid for it with the highest cost he could pay, the life of his son. We often don't recognize the enemy when he comes to rob us. Because that robbery, that thieving, comes oftentimes to us in a way where we see it as problems or inner turmoil, lack of peace. We think it's caused by other people. We think it's caused by our husband or our wife. We think it's caused by our daughter or our son. We think it's caused by our work or our finances or our health. All these things, we think these are the things that are robbing us, destroying us, and causing us so much grief and trouble. Now, it's true that these things are real. I mean, things do happen. There are problems. Jesus told us there'll be problems. There are real issues that we have to deal with. But what God wants us to know is that these issues don't have to knock us down. They don't have to knock us out of the game. They aren't meant to destroy us. In fact, just the opposite. They're supposed to help strengthen us. Oftentimes these things that get us are just the vehicles or the tools that our enemy uses to rob us of the good things that God has given us. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We always think it is. And God's, if we have ears to hear, he's telling us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We can't have our eyes closed to the work of the devil. He is our true enemy. He really is. 1 Peter 5:8 says, to be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And take a guess who it is that he's looking to devour. It's you. It's me. How does he devour us? Same way we devour a big juicy hamburger, one bite at a time. One little bite at a time. He comes and he snatches away the things that God has put in our heart. Every time he sees something of Christ born into your life, he wants to kill it. He tried to do the same thing with Jesus. If you remember, he used Herod to kill all the baby boys that were born around Bethlehem under 2 years old. He tried to kill off Moses. He used people to do it, but it was the devil who was behind it. Think about it. Since you first became a Christian, how many times have you gotten a revelation from God? Maybe a word, or maybe even a direct word about something that you knew at the time was very important. You knew it was God. You knew he was speaking to you. And yet barely a few days, or maybe a couple weeks later, we barely remember what God showed us. Somehow it lost that power, it lost that importance, it lost that significance. And that lesson that we learned, or that instruction that we got to do something, or that word that meant so much to us to help us walk out our life, walk out the plan and purpose of God in our life, was snatched away. We think it's just a bad memory, maybe a senior moment. Maybe a junior moment. But why do we then remember so many inconsequential things? We can remember this and we can remember that, but yet we can't remember something God himself spoke to us? Doesn't that sound a little fishy? There's a thief in the house. Sometimes we don't even know that we've been robbed. He is so clever. The devil can be like an art thief. Sometimes what they do is they sneak into the museum or into someone's home and they take a painting or whatever it might be, a statue or something, and they leave behind a reproduction, a fake. And that way they hide their crime. And that's one of the ways the devil works in our lives. He provides substitutes, counterfeits. And we run after those counterfeits, not even realizing that the thing that we did have from God has now faded away in our memory because we've been running after this other thing that looks a little shinier, a little brighter, a little more tantalizing, a little more pleasing. And so we lose track of God's best for us. God wants us to move forward and take ground, but the devil wants to take the ground that we've already won. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. God does not want us to hold back. Have you ever noticed how often when we hear God's word, even when it's a specific word or specific revelation from God, something makes us want to hold back? We even spiritualize it. Well, I'll have to pray about that.
If we know it's from God, why would we want to hold back? You know what it is? It's things like fear, doubt, unbelief, laziness, whatever it is. We could name 1,000 things. And it's almost about the same number of reasons as how many things the devil has in his bag of tricks or schemes. You see, he knows how to play with our mind. We get a word from God and we say, yeah, I'm going for it. And immediately he throws in there, but not today. Or he says, but you can't handle that. Or somebody will come against you. Or you're not strong enough for that. Or you don't have enough money. Or nobody will believe you. Or whatever it is. He throws these little doubts in our mind, and then he uses these natural tendencies of our flesh to hide behind so that we don't know it's him, and yet he gets us to reject God's word because he's a thief. He's got so many schemes. He always wants to show us the better way. The easier way, the quicker way, the more profitable way, the more glamorous way, at a later time, something or other, any way that is not God's way. That's his way. Because he always wants to rob us of God's best for us. That's what he does. Day in, day out, he wants to rob us of God's best for us. He doesn't even mind if we do something, but it's less than what we were going to do. As long as we're not getting the most out of what we could out of God, he'll let us do it. But he tries to get us to do as far away from God as we can. But he'll always be satisfied to get us to do something less than the best. Sometimes we give in too easy. We're not alert. We're not self-controlled like we're supposed to be, like the Word told us. Sometimes we leave the keys in the door. We leave the windows open. They're unlocked. I know a few people who've had their homes robbed. It was a terrible thing. And the most terrible thing about the whole experience was that they felt violated. Some thief was in their bedroom, going through their drawers, going through their personal things, their papers, their jewelry box, their photos, their mementos, all their precious little things, laughing, throwing things on the floor, breaking them up, having a good old time destroying our precious things. That's what a thief does. You come home and you find that. And these people that I know, they felt violated. They were outraged. They were hurt. They were angry. They felt like they had been mocked. Wouldn't you? Well, that's how God feels when he sees his children, his church, his bride torn apart, mocked, ravaged, plundered by the enemy. His precious gifts laughed at, spit on, cast away, stolen, or destroyed by the thief. We can't allow this to happen. It was never meant to be this way. We have the power. We have the authority. We just have to use it. For those who have eyes to see, for those who have ears to hear, God gives us his authority. He gives us his power. It's not God's plan that the devil would steal what God has given to you. It's not God's plan that we fall for the lies and the deceptions and the temptations of the flesh. In fact, God shows us just the opposite. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it, or you can stand your ground. We can't give in to the devil's schemes and let him devour us one bite at a time. We need to get mad. Mad at him. A righteous anger at the one who is stealing from us. The one who plunders. Who robs. Who steals. Takes our friends. Our family. The things that God has given us. And steals them right from under our nose. We don't have to settle for this. 1 John 3:8 tells us that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Let me read that again. The reason the Son of God appeared, the reason Jesus came to this earth was to destroy the devil's work. That's why He came. Jesus started the job when He was here in the flesh. And today, He is continuing this same work, destroying the devil's work through Spirit-filled believers, like you and me, when we allow Him to work through us, when we allow Him to use His power through us. When we allow Him to move through the Holy Spirit through us. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We can put him on the run. But first we have to submit ourselves to God. Submit ourselves to His Word, to His truth. Get that in us. Be aware. Walk in that power. Walk in that authority. That's what it means to be under submission to God. Do what He wants us to do. And then we resist the devil and he runs. He realizes, I can't beat them. I can't rob them. I can't steal from them. I can't destroy them. God will not let us down. That's not in His nature. But we have to do our part. We have to take a stand. We have to lock those doors and windows that I mentioned earlier. The things that will allow us then to keep all the garbage out of our life. The things that would corrupt us and cause us to take our eyes off of the things of God. We have to turn on the lights. The light of God's Word, His truth, and let it shine into every area of our life so that we can see His truth, so that we can walk in His truth, and so we can shine that light for even others to see. We have to listen for the spiritual alarms that will warn us when someone is trying to break in. And the Holy Spirit is the best early warning system that there ever could be. He can sound an alarm before the event is happening. He really can. We need to have a good security team working for us. People watching out for us. That would be the church. That would be other believers. That would be pastors. That would be those who we have opened up our hearts to. Those that we are in relationship with. That would be our spouse, our husband, or our wife. We allow them to point out things in our life when they see something. We question them. We trust them. We work together to strengthen one another. So we have all these things. And then we need to take up the weapons of our spiritual warfare and be primed and ready to use them. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the most powerful weapon we could use, the same weapon that Jesus used to defeat the devil. And we saw examples of it in His Word. prayer at all times, in all places, whether we're alone or whether we're with others. Praise and thanksgiving. Those are also weapons because they make our heart be filled with God so that we're not jealous and envious and wanting everything else. They keep our hearts strong. They keep us close to God. Enter His courts with praise. We need to be washed in the blood and walking in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. We need to fight as if our lives depended on it, because they do. Our lives and the lives of our brothers and sisters. We need to remember that 1 John 4:4 tells us, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. It's all there. Everything we need. Everything we need to be victorious, to not let the devil rob us blind. The devil is very, very good at what he does. He is a master schemer. You know, when we talk about schemes, it tells us in the Bible that we don't have to be unaware of the schemes of the devil. Schemes are these plots that are devised to trick us. They're not just outward. The devil doesn't work as much outwardly. He works behind the scenes. He connives. He schemes. He makes these intricate plans that sometimes have been going down through generations. Sometimes he plots in little babies' lives what he's going to do to them as they grow up. You'd be surprised how devious he is. He's a master at deception. But he is no match. He is not even close. He comes nowhere near the power, the majesty, the glory, the wisdom of our God, the one who is in us. So, as capable as the devil seems, when it comes to dealing with the children of God, with us, he doesn't have a chance as long as we are walking with God and have our eyes and our ears open. He's no match for the power of God. Remember, he's the one who got kicked out of heaven. He's the one who God can deal with like this. His little finger is enough to squash him. We can't be afraid of him. We have no reason to be afraid of the devil. We respect his power. That means we can't just not pay any attention, but we have no reason to fear him because we've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and the things of the devil. Don't let the devil hold you back. Lengthen the cord. Stretch out those stakes. Don't hold back. Enlarge the place of your tent. God's plans are to prosper you, to give you a life of abundance, an abundance of love, an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace. Power to prosper you in so, so many ways. God's got more in store for us than we could ever ask or imagine. He can do more things through us than we could ever believe we could do. And it doesn't matter how weak we feel, because in our weakness is when His power shines. It's not about us in what we can do, it's about what God in us can do. And God in us can defeat every plan, every scheme, every purpose of the devil.
2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." We can't do that when we've been robbed blind. See, God never wants us to go through that. He doesn't want us to be violated by the devil.
Don't let the devil steal what is rightfully yours as a child of God.
Once you became one of God's children, once you entered into His family, you were given certain rights and privileges. And the devil has no authority to take them away. I know our flesh often feels weak. I know the world system is always pushing us, trying to twist everything. Everything out there tries to make us feel weak. Everything out there tries to seduce us and take us away from God. But that's not our heritage. That's not our destiny. That's not what God has designed for us. If we take a stand, if we keep our ears and our eyes open, be alert and self-controlled, the devil's schemes will have no place in your life. And that's what God wants. That's what God envisioned for you. That's God's plan for you. That's His purpose for you. He wants a people who are a powerful people. He wants a people that are blessed. He wants a people that enjoy life. Yes, there's evil in this world, but there is good in this world. And we can enjoy the good things. God wants us to enjoy our life. It's pretty hard to enjoy our life when we're being robbed. But when we've got all our defenses up and our protections up and we know that the enemy can't rob us, then it's easy to enjoy life. That's what we need to do. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You are a mighty God, that You are an awesome God, that You are a powerful God, that You control all things, that the earth belongs to You and everything in it. We thank You, Lord, that we belong to You. Lord, we thank You that You're our protector. You're our provider. You go out ahead of us and fight our fight. It's You who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for a victorious life. We thank You for victory. We thank You for the fact that we can walk in the power of Your name. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your love. Lord, encourage, strengthen, and comfort Your people. Lord, fill us up with Your truth. Fill us up to overflowing with Your word, with Your power, with Your love. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 If you need prayer for anything, come on forward. And don't forget, we got coffee and donuts upstairs. Great to have you out today. Thanks for coming.